Turn with me, if you would, this morning to Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and if we can read the words that we have in verse 30. Mark's Gospel, chapter 7, and verse 30. And when she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. When she was come to her house, she found the devil gone out, and her daughter laid upon the bed. Can I once again, on behalf of Katrina and of the office bearers, wish every one of you a most blessed new year. If I haven't already seen you on Friday, then may I wish the best for you for the coming year. And this is the first Sabbath of a new year. I wondered what it was that I would preach on today, as I did on Friday. I thought the first Sabbath of a new year was a time when perhaps a particular text would be appropriate. In seeking such a text, I didn't realise that right in front of my eyes there was a text that was very appropriate for the new year, and that's the text that we would have naturally come to, or we would have thought of, in the normal course of preaching through Mark's Gospel. Sometimes when you see a text, or when you come to the Scripture, you're blind to what is actually there. And when I began to think about what I would preach on this, the first day of the new, first Sabbath of the new year, I didn't realise that right in front of my eyes, in verse 30, is a highly appropriate text for today. Why do I say that? Why is it that this text is so appropriate? You know, sometimes when you're reading through Mark's Gospel or preaching through Mark's Gospel, there's the temptation to take verses 24 to 30, the whole account of the Syrophoenician woman, give one sermon and move on. And you think you've done justice to the whole account. I think when we do that, we miss a lot of truth that we can apply to ourselves. I want to apply some of the truth of this verse to us this morning. What is there, and why is this such an appropriate text for a new year? Well, first of all, I want to go back and think of a missionary. His name was Duff. It possibly was Alexander Duff, who went to India, who was a Free Church missionary, who was the moderator of the Free Church in 1851. But whether it was him or whether it was another missionary, when he was abroad, he came to a house. And there was a farmer in the house. And he gathered all the house, the family, together. They were all gathered in the room, the farmer, his wife, his children, and the rest of the family that were there. But Mr. Duff realised that there was no, I think they called them kafir, servants. There wasn't a servant among the people. And when the missionary asked the farmer, he said, "Where are the kafir?" And the farmer said to him, "Why are we needing the kafir? What have the kafir got to do with the gospel? They're servants. They're just dogs." That's what he was told. So Mr. Duff said, "That's fine, we'll start our service." And he came to read the scripture. And he came to the Syrophoenician woman. And he read, "Yea, Lord, but even the dogs feed from the crumbs that fall from the master's table." At which point the farmer himself said, "Stop. You've made your point through the word of God. Call the servants, every single one of them, bring them in, and let them hear the gospel." he had been rebuked by God's word. Some of the younger people remember the account of the Highland Maid. It's a similar account. Is there anybody else in the house? Just one insignificant maid. Bring her down. See, this text and the account of the Syrophoenician woman reminds us at the beginning of 2016 that the gospel is for everyone. It doesn't matter who it is, rich or poor. There's a precursor here to the gospel going out into the Gentiles, going out into the far country. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. We might think at the beginning of this year that the gospel is for the rich or the respectable. We might imagine that the gospel's for respectable people. Or on the other hand, we might think to ourselves, well, the gospel's for poor. It's not for the rich. It's for the poor. Do you know who the gospel's for? Whomsoever, let him come and drink of the water of life freely. And surely at the beginning of a new year, on the first Sabbath of a new year, we need to be reminded that the gospel is for everyone, even for this poor woman who came and cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ. She wasn't a Jew. She wasn't of God's chosen people. She was from Tyre and Sidon. But yet we are reminded that the Lord blessed her. And the Lord can bless whomsoever in 2016 just as much as he could bless this woman. This text is a wonderful text for the beginning of a new year because it reminds us that the gospel is for Jew and Gentile, bond or free, whomsoever, let him come. But it's also an appropriate text for the new year because of something else. And that was this woman's desire. When she left Jesus and made her way back down to Tyre and Sidon, what do you think this woman had on her mind as she made her way down to her home? What do you think she had on her mind? She's making her way back down over the border into Tyre and Sidon among her own pagan people. Surely she had one thing in her mind, and that was the blessing of Jesus Christ. The blessing. She wanted the blessing of Jesus Christ in her home. We come to the beginning of another year. Do we seek the blessing of the Lord Jesus Christ on our home, in our home? Is that our great desire? We look back on a past year, and we look for, what is the world? The world wants health, wealth and wisdom. But none of that is of any value unless you have the blessing of Jesus Christ in your home. This woman made her way back down, and she would have one desire. It was to come down to her home and to find the blessing that the Lord had promised her, and that her home would be blessed by him. When you come to another year, what do you want for your home? What do you seek in this year that's to come for you, for your family, for your friends, for those whom you love? What is the greatest desire that you have for them? You want them to be healthy. Well, that's a good thing. It's good. And we want them to be healthy. You want them to get on. You want them to enjoy what they do in life. Well, that's a good thing we do. We want all of that. But do we have the desire that this woman had? As she made her way down to her home, she had a desire, surely above all else, that she would find there the blessing that Jesus Christ had promised her. Is that what you want in your own home, for your own family? The great blessing. This is a wonderful text for the new year, because it shows us a woman who above all else sought the blessing of Jesus Christ. And as she made her way down to the home, she was looking for that blessing that Jesus had promised her. Jesus gives us all a promise. Seek me, and you shall find me. Call upon me, and I will bless thee. What was it that we saw in the prophet? He says, look to God. Wait upon him, and he shall hear your prayer. Is that the promise? And is that what we look for in our own home in 2016? But there's a second thing. There's another reason why this is a good text. Another reason why this is a text that is ideal for the new year. Because if I ask you, over the last 12 months, what kind of year have you had? What would your answer be? How would you answer it? Some of you might say, well, 2015 was a good year for me. I got on well. Got on well in my work and my job and my family. And we had no health problems. Nobody died. It was a good new year. It was a good year. Others of you, I know fine well, will be able to say, looking back in 2015, that that's not a good year. You perhaps lost family, ones whom you've loved. There's at least two families in here today that they can say, when they look back in 2015, wasn't a good year. But are we judging things according to our own understanding? Or ought we to be saying, it's a good year or a bad year, depending on how the Lord has spiritually blessed us? This woman could look back on what must have been months for her, perhaps a long time. This devil has entered in and torn her daughter apart. But at the end of it, the Lord even blessed that to her. Her troubles and the trials that she went through brought her to know the Lord Jesus Christ. Brought Jesus Christ into her home. And surely she's able to say at the end of it, as she makes her way back down, she leaves the Lord Jesus and she makes her way back down home, and she enters into that home, she can say, well, it was surely good for me that I was afflicted. It drew me closer to Jesus Christ. We might look back on a past year and think, well, that's a wonderful year, but it's not been a wonderful year unless the Lord has used it to draw you closer to him. The Lord used even the devil in that woman's daughter. The Lord even used that devil as a means of blessing this poor woman. You may have had a year where you've had sorrow, where you've had trouble. But has that sorrow and trouble drawn you closer to Jesus Christ? If it has, then even that has been a blessing. Even that has been used by the Lord to bless you. this woman knew what it was to have the greatest sorrow, to see her daughter torn apart with a devil. And yet the end result of it all was that she was blessed by Jesus Christ through it. It's a good text for a new year. But it's a good text for another reason as well, because it encourages us in obedience. This woman knew the blessing of Jesus Christ in the path of obedience. Now, why do I say that? We know she's a woman of great faith. Jesus says, oh, woman of great faith. But how can we say that it was in the path of obedience that she received the blessing? Well, if you look at the text itself, and he said unto her, for this saying, go thy way. And then what do we read? And when she was come unto her house, she went her way. She was obedient to what Jesus commanded her to do. Jesus says, go thy way. Now, there are some in Scripture that the Lord says, arise and follow me. Matthew sitting at the receipt of custom. And Jesus comes and says, arise, come and follow me. And he arises and he follows the Lord Jesus Christ. There are disciples who are fishing in the sea. And Jesus comes and says, leave your nets, come and follow me. Someone comes and says, well, I've got to look after my father. First of all, he says, let the dead look after, let the dead bury the dead. You follow me. There's one young man that comes to the Lord Jesus Christ and he says, what must I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus says, go sell all that thou hast and then come and follow me. It's too big a price. What does Jesus say to this woman? He says to her, go thy way. He says, we read in Matthew's Gospel, be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. Go thy way. The devil is out of thy daughter. It's a wonderful picture, isn't it? I see her sitting here at the feet of Jesus. And she's pleading with him. She's saying to him, my daughter, will you just do something for my daughter? And just ignores her. And then the disciples say, give us, do pick that, send her away. Do something for my daughter. He says, I'm not going to do anything for your daughter. I don't give bread to the dogs. Rebuffed. She says, yes, Lord, but even the dogs feed from the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Then Jesus says, O woman of great faith, be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. Go thy way. The devil's out of thy daughter. And then she sits and says, is that really true? Excuse me. She doesn't. You know the picture you've got is of as soon as Jesus says that, she gets up off her knees and she runs out that door. The Lord Jesus has told her to go her way, so she goes her way in obedience to what Jesus tells her to do. What obedience, eh? He simply says the word. Go thy way, the devil is out of thy daughter. And she picks herself up off the ground, she goes through that door, and she makes her way back down through Tyre and Sidon. And as she goes, does she stop on the way down? Oh, there's a neighbour, I wonder what. How are you today? What's going on in the marketplace today? Wonder what's going on down this road. Well, have we looked down? No, she doesn't. She puts her face towards her home because Jesus says, go thy way, and she makes her way straight there. She doesn't dilly-dally on the way. She doesn't amble along. Let me ask you this question at the beginning of 2016. In the past year, when the Lord has commanded you to do something, how often have you ambled along instead of being obedient? Maybe you've questioned. Maybe instead of getting up and picking yourself up like this woman does and makes her way because Jesus has said, go thy way, she gets up and goes her way, you sit about and you sort of ask the questions. Or how often do we and have we ambled along? Well, when it comes to worldly things, we are running the race. But when it comes to spiritual things, we sort of amble along. My friend, this woman never ambled along. Jesus had given her a promise. And he said, with that promise, go thy way. And she got up and she went. You know, it's not in the major things, the big things, is it, that the Lord will bless us. It's not doing these great, you know, it's not going up to the Mount of Transfiguration. It's not going down into some great place. It's not following Jesus into Calvary's cross. It's simply her going her way and being in obedience to it that the Lord blessed her. My friends, is that not what we need to? Is it not a wonderful text in 2016? Because it tells us, it shows to us, if this poor woman, who's not even a Jew, who's a Syrophoenician, a Greek, someone who doesn't even deserve the blessing, someone whom Jesus has called a dog, if she can get up and give such obedience to the words of Jesus Christ, how it ought to be a rebuke to every one of us. Jesus says to her, go thy way. And she immediately gets up and she goes her way. All she does is go from there, cross over the border, down into Tyre and Sidon to her home. That's all she did. And the Lord honoured that. The Lord honoured that because when she got there, she discovered her daughter is cured. She received the blessing in the path of obedience. But it wasn't just that we are encouraged to see her obedience. Is it? It's that we today are encouraged to see her faith. Jesus says to her, O woman. You know, he's called her a dog, but now he calls her a woman. O woman. You know, you might be a dog, but your faith has dignified you. O woman, be it done unto thee even as thou wilt. That's what Matthew says. O woman. Mark doesn't say that, but he now calls her woman. He says, be it done. What you've asked for, you have now got. Go thy way. The devil is out of thy daughter. And it's not only that she rises in obedience, she rises from there believing that what Jesus had said, he was able to accomplish. You come to the beginning of 2016, my friend, and do you believe today what Jesus promises he is able to do? Do you believe that what the Lord Jesus Christ has stated in his word that he is able to accomplish it? Do you believe that the promises that he has given to his people, to his church, that these are promises that are yea and amen in him? Do you really believe that Jesus has the power to raise your daughter and to cast out a devil when you're not even in the same room? It's doubtful if he's even in the same country. He's at the borders of Tyre and Sidon. And yet he simply says the word. The devil that's in your daughter that will ultimately I will overrule and bless it to you, because you will see the blessing that I can do, the power that I have got. She went and believed every single word that Jesus had to say to her. She simply believed it. Beginning of end of 2015, how often can we look back over 2015 and say to ourselves, not only were we not being obedient, but how many times have you actually said to yourself, you don't actually believe what Jesus is able to do? You've disbelieved. Maybe today your whole life is a life of unbelief. Maybe yet you still don't believe what Jesus is able to do. My friend, we have witnessed time and time again how Christ can save sinners, can change the lives of those who are on the road to destruction, filled with a devil, even as this woman was, this daughter was filled with a devil, in bondage to the devil, her father the devil, and yet one word, and that devil is cast out of her. When you pray for those whom you love, those who are as yet strangers to God's grace, do you really believe that God is able to change them? Or do you pray and there's that, you know, question? My friend, let us never question the power of Jesus Christ. Let us never doubt that Jesus Christ in a moment of time can change the most hardened heart, the most desolate sinner, the most hardened criminal of all. Jesus in a moment of time is able to change that life. We need to believe again. We need to believe the power of Jesus Christ and the ability that he has. She now, we are told, she came down and she was trusting. She was now walking. She wasn't ambling. She was now on her road. She was now walking as Jesus had commanded her to walk. She now had her eyes opened looking for the blessing. When she got to that home and opened her door and burst into that house, she was looking for the blessing that Christ had promised. Do you today look for the blessing that Christ has promised his church? I will never leave you. I will never forsake you. I will bless my word. I will keep my church. I will prosper my word, and it shall never return unto me void. Even a word in season can be used to be blessed to the poor sinner. This woman came, and as she made her way down, she discovers that her faith and her obedience is answered. And how is it answered? Well, once again, this text is a wonderful text for the new year. Because when she went down to the home, into her own home, surely the first thing, even as she's making her way down there in obedience to Jesus Christ, not questioning, not waiting behind to question the Lord, but coming and looking for the blessing that Jesus had promised her, when she goes in there, she sees her daughter is now cured. You know, she had said to Jesus, just give me a crumb. Now, whether that's crumbs that fall from the table, whether it's, you know, as Mr. Scott told us, you know, throwing something aside to the dogs. Whatever it was, she's now not only called a woman, she's given the whole table. Everything that she has desired, What thou wilt, be it done unto thee, she says. He says. Her daughter's lying there. Dead beat. Tired. What a struggle it has been for this young girl. But she's now lying at peace. My friend, is that not the way God very often deals with a sinner? When he's brought under conviction of sin, there's a great battle of warfare that can spiritually drain you. But at the end of the day, you can lie in peace through the Lord Jesus Christ. He says to her, you go your way. And he says to the young girl, you lie in peace. You're safe now. The devil has gone out of you. You're changed now. What power this woman has now witnessed. She's experienced her own helplessness. She's shown how helpless she is. And my friend, we are shown at the beginning of another year how helpless we are to overcome the world, the flesh, and the devil. The world, the flesh, and the devil will overcome us unless, through the power of Jesus Christ, we are raised up. Unless, through the power of His Word, being blessed to us, we are raised up to newness of life, even as this girl, dead beat, yet now at peace. And the mother knows that she could do nothing but run to Jesus Christ. That's all she could do. And when she ran to Jesus Christ gave her a promise. My friend, the world will make promises to you. The world itself will make promises. You'll make promises to yourself. You'll make New Year's resolutions to yourself. Are you able to keep them? Not at all. Of course you're not. How many New Year's resolutions have you made over the number of years that you've been alive? You make resolutions all the time, you can't keep them. But when Jesus gives you a resolution, He's able to keep it, and He will keep it. When she ran to Him, He gave her a promise. As thou wilt have it done unto you, so will it be. You have come to Me, you have desired something that the world can't do for you, I will do it. Go home. Go your way. The devil is out of your daughter. What a promise. And she ran on that promise. She went home on that promise. And when she went into that door, she discovered that Jesus Christ was able to keep His promise. My friend, today, the same Jesus Christ that this woman met at the borders of Tyre and Sidon, the same Jesus Christ that she came to and cast herself at His feet, the same Jesus Christ that said to her, here's a promise, and she immediately jumps off, doesn't question, jumps up, runs out, runs across the border, runs down home, the same Jesus that blessed her daughter is able to bless you today. Is able to bless your home today. Is able to bless your life today. You look back over 2015, and it might have been a wonderful year, and it might be the biggest curse to you. You look back over 2015 and you say, what a hard year that's been, and I've had hard providences. And none of us look for hard providences. Nobody does, and nobody wants it for anybody this year. But my friend, when the Lord brings us a hard providence, and it's the means of bringing us to Jesus Christ and bowing at His foot, then what a blessing it is to us, ultimately. To be healthy, wealthy, and to be wise is nothing, either individually or altogether, without the blessing of the Lord, without His blessing. And this woman came to know that, didn't she? When she went back down there and her daughter is there, lying on the bed, changed, the devil is out of her. I wonder what she did. She would go over and tend to her daughter, of course she would. She would sit beside her and get her strong again, of course she would. But do you not think that beside that bed, that woman would get on her knees and praise God through Jesus Christ, our Lord? Do you not think that she would there, beside that bed, beside her daughter who is exhausted but is lying in peace, the devil is gone, do you not think that she would get down on her knees beside that bed and thank Jehovah, the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ? How much did she know of the Lord? I don't know. Was she aware of all that we today know about the Lord Jesus Christ? No. But the one thing she did know, that was that she could put her trust in Him. She could put her trust in Him where she could not put her trust in any of the false gods of Tyre and Sidon, where she couldn't put her trust even in herself. But she could put her trust in Christ Jesus the Lord. Have we, each one of us, learned that over 2015? Whether it was a good year for us, whether it was a year that brought sorrow for us, whatever our year has brought, has it been a year where we've seen the power of Christ and we can say, I can trust in Him. Not only for a past year, but I can trust in Him for this coming year. She knew from then on that she could trust the Lord Jesus Christ. He wouldn't let them go. And she wouldn't let Him go. She would bow and thank God the Father. And she would worship and praise the Lord Jesus Christ for all that He had done for her. Let us pray. Most gracious and ever blessed Lord, we pray that Thou would bring us to the foot of Jesus Christ, and that we would hear gracious words from Him. Go Thy way. Go in peace. Thy daughter is well. Go in peace. All will be well with thee. Even as He said to Jairus on the way to his daughter, fear not. All will be well. Simply trust. May it be that on this day we would simply trust in Christ Jesus the Lord. May it be that in the days to come we would trust in Him more and more. Bless us now and part us in Thy fear and with Thy blessing. For we ask it in the name of Jesus Christ and for His sake. Amen.